I want to greet each one in Jesus' precious name this morning. Just a brief introduction. We are farmers. My wife and I and family are farmers. And we do pastor a small church in the nearby town there. And we enjoy serving the Lord. And Dave, wherever you're at, that first song you sang is one of my favorite songs. It just draws our attention to a great God that we serve. And when I sing that song, I just get tingles up and down my spine because of what God has done for us. If you brought your Bibles, I hope you have, I invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm told to keep the message to about 30 minutes, and that's hard for preachers to do sometimes, but I will try to do that. We're going to look this morning at a character trait that each one of us, myself included, needs to work at and continue to work at as we go through life. And we're going to look at it in a certain context this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 11 through 17 and then take my message out of verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting verse 11. Thank you. Dearly beloved. Now, if somebody walked up to you and said, "Dearly beloved," what would you think? Would you think they cared for you? I think we would think that. Peter here is writing to us today. He says, "Dearly beloved." Peter cared about those he was writing to. He didn't know us, but this scripture is for us today. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. My purpose this morning is to grow in our understanding about love in the brotherhood. Now, you at Woodlawn here have a brotherhood. You have a certain way of doing things, a certain way of caring for each other. And so we're going to talk about what that love in the brotherhood looks like this morning. So our context here is Peter is writing to us and he says he's beseeching us as strangers and pilgrims. We're only on this earth for a short period of time. We are strangers here. Our roots should not be so deep here that we cannot leave for heaven and be sad. That's a challenge to me as I think about being a stranger and a pilgrim. A pilgrim is one who passed through. We are here just passing through. But how do we actually live our life? As if we are passing through, or as if we are putting down our roots here. He's also writing to us and saying that we need to be honest to those who are outside the church. He says here, have your conversation, your behavior, honest among the Gentiles, those who are outside the body of believers. That as they observe our life, they may behold how we live and think about the God that we serve. So that is the context for our message today. So it says here, love the brotherhood. As a part of our daily walk each day, we need to love the brotherhood. What is a brotherhood? You can define brotherhood various ways. It's a group of people having the same interest, goals, or focuses. There's a man I know quite well. We are farmers, and so we have pigs, and various men come into our farm to haul the pigs away. And there's this one man comes in, and he is not a Christian. He would tell you that. He has a ponytail. He has tattoos. But he told me, he said, Jay, he said, you have your brotherhood. I have mine also. He's a part of a Harley gang. He said, we care for our own like you care for your own. But there's something different about their care and our care. We are caring for each other on the spiritual side of things. We care about each person's spiritual walk with Christ. And so in this brotherhood here at Woodlawn, you should care for each other spiritually. If you see a brother or sister going astray, the Bible tells us you should go and talk to them. That's called brotherhood. It's a deep caring about each other's lives. It doesn't mean we all think alike or we all have the same opinion, but it means you care when somebody is hurting. And this love we're talking about here is an action word. It means you take action in that care. It's choosing to love in a social or moral sense. Love is a choice. Love is a choice we make each day. Those of us who are married, we choose to love our spouse each day. Sometimes, if we're honest, and I'm going to be honest here, sometimes my spouse irritates me. Okay? But I choose to love her in spite of that. And so in this brotherhood here at Woodlawn, you make a choice to love each other, no matter their opinions or thoughts. Love is shown by what we say and how we live. This brotherhood we're talking about has some of the same interests. We are interested in living godly lives. That's at the top of our list of interest. We want to live godly lives. We want to raise godly families. That means we as parents teach our children the principles in God's Word. And then we teach them the applications in those principles and what it means to walk with God. What it means to be separate from the world. Another interest we have as this brotherhood is we are interested in telling those around us about God's love, witnessing the word of the truth. When somebody here has a painful experience, you hurt with them because they hurt. First Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. That means unhypocritical love. That means you do not talk about a brother or sister behind their back and then talk nice to them when you see them. Unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, with apathy. No. It says fervently. It means with your whole being. So loving the brotherhood includes not being hypocritical in our love. It means loving with our whole being. So I have 5 points here about brotherhood. Then we're going to talk about how unity helps the brotherhood, and then some hindrances to the brotherhood. And I'm going to try to go over these very fast. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm not going to read this whole portion here, but verses 14 through 27 talk about the members of the body and how important each member is. If you stub your toe, does it hurt the whole body? It does for me. I walk different. I feel that pain when I walk. Okay? So each member in our body, in this body here at Woodlawn, is important. I'm just going to start reading verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So verse 24 tells us that God has commingled this body here at Woodlawn together to bring growth in the body, not to bring division. That word schism means division. And that each member should have the same care one for another. So my first point here is we care for each other as a family. You know, each family unit has a special uniqueness to that. And they care for that family unit in a special way. I think you understand what I'm talking about. When the family has a painful experience, the whole family has that pain together. And families care for each other because there is a special oneness there. So we care for each other as a family. Turn back a few chapters to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to read verses 9 through 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, starting at verse 9. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. What I want to pull out here is, in the body, there are weaker ones, and there are stronger ones. That is just a fact of life. In our family, as we were growing up, the older ones were stronger than the younger ones, because they were older. In this body here, the older ones have been through more of life. God's taken them through trials that he hasn't taken the younger ones through. They've seen a lot of life, and they have learned things that the younger ones haven't learned. But he says here, don't use your liberty as a stumbling block to those who are weaker than you. We who are older and stronger. Maybe there's things that we do that we are okay with doing and doesn't harm us spiritually. But there might be a weaker person in the brotherhood. There might be a person that is a new Christian where he looks at us and says, why does he do that? And it causes him to stumble. And so we need to not do those things that cause a brother to stumble. Turn to Romans 15. I'm cutting out a lot of stuff here, but there's certain ones that I think are very important we need to think about. Romans 15, verses 1 through 3. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. we who are strong help to bear the infirmities of the weak. We help them walk through life, and we do it not because we're better than them, but we do it because we care about them, not to please ourselves. It says Christ did things not to please himself. He did it to please the Father. And that is why we help those who are weaker than us. The third thing I want to think about is we help restore those who have fallen. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I'm just going to read verse 1. We're going to come back to this scripture later on in the message. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We have that word brethren there. It's a word of deep endearment. If we see a brother, he says a man here, brother or sister, be overtaken in a fault, fall into sin. We who are spiritual, it says restore. That word restore means to repair. But he gives us instructions how to do that here. He says, do it in a spirit of meekness. Meekness, humbleness. He says, considering yourself, lest you also might sometime be in that same shoe where you need restored because you failed. We help restore this brother or this sister even when the mistake was not ours. Maybe they made a bad decision and it put them in a position where they failed. And we help restore them even though they made a bad choice. It says here, we which are spiritual. How do you define a spiritual person? A spiritual person is one who is led by the Spirit in his daily walk of life and is producing the fruits of the Spirit in his life. All of us must realize that we are prone to sin. We are prone to failure. And so, when somebody fails, we don't go up to them and say, I told you so. I knew this would happen. We help restore them in a spirit of meekness. And so there's two groups mentioned here in this verse. Those who need restored and those who are doing the restoring. Point number 4 is found in verse 2 of Galatians 6. He says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We help bear each other's burdens. And that word burden there is a weight that is too much for them to carry. It's when we have an unusual demand on our resources, either physically or spiritually, that is too much for us to carry. About 10 years ago, we experienced a barn fire on a Sunday morning. The next day, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, all cleaned up. Brotherhood. Neighbors came, friends from other churches came, friends from our church came, all cleaned up. I was overwhelmed. They helped me with a burden that I couldn't carry. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Talking about bearing each other's burdens. Sometimes we bear burdens in the sense of a physical matter, like cleaning up after a barn fire. This here talks about a different kind of burden. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses... let's read verses 12 through 15. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased, and ye be burdened, but by an equality that now at this time, when your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. There are times in our journey through life where we have extra. God has blessed us with extra. But now I have a responsibility to use that extra to help those who have less than I do and have needs. He says that your abundance, your surplus, may it be supply for their want, for their deficiency. We never know what experience God is going to cause to go through. Or we might be a person that needs financial assistance. We who have been blessed have a responsibility to help in those times of need. I observed you took an offering this morning for your medical fund. I don't know how that works, how that looks like, but by taking an offering, others were giving to that offering to help those that had needs that came up that they couldn't carry. See, today in the world, the attitude is, what's mine is mine. You leave it alone. But see, we must understand that everything that we have is God's. And as I am getting older, and I am getting older, that thought becomes more serious to me, because I'm going to pass from this earth sometime. I'm taking nothing with me besides the relationships I have made with people over the years and the influence I've had in their life in a good manner. And so everything we have is God's. We are just stewards of it. And so when we share with others, we're just sharing God's money back and forth. So what's mine is not mine. It's God's. There's an attitude in our churches called individualism. I hope and pray that attitude is not present in this brotherhood here at Woodlawn. Let's turn back to 1 Peter again. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. My last point here is we need to submit ourselves to the preferences of another when the time comes. It says here, younger submit to the elder. Then it says, all of us be subject one to another. I'm not talking about laying down doctrinal principles for another's preference. Okay, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about yielding my preference to your preference for the sake of unity in the brotherhood, for the sake of bringing strength to the brotherhood. Every person here has opinions about matters. Opinions are fine. My wife and I have different opinions about different matters. We need to come to an agreement together, sharing our differing opinions, and decide how to move forward in a way that strengthens our marriage and strengthens our family. The same with this brotherhood here. You need to take your opinions and mingle them together in a way that brings unity and strength to the body, not division. See, the word submit here means to willingly place yourself under the care of another. It should be normal for us to be practicing this in our brotherhoods. So let's just think about how this brotherhood thing works. So say I have a issue in my life and I go to the brotherhood for counsel, which I think we should use the brotherhood for counsel on more matters than we do, because there is wisdom in the brotherhood. And so I go to the brotherhood for counsel, I receive that counsel, I apply that counsel, and things go well, and we all rejoice together. What if I go to the brotherhood for counsel, I receive their counsel, I apply it, and things go crash? What do we do then? Well, you didn't do it right. No. We say, you know, we gave that counsel to you. We're going to walk with you, beside you, to correct the situation that didn't go as we thought it would go. So we have two scenarios here. One where things go well, and one where things don't go well. We need to have a humble attitude and say, here, I'm here to help you and walk with you in this journey. So how does unity help the brotherhood? We're at 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to read verses 8 and 9 now. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Unity in doctrine and practice helps to resist the devil. When we are fighting the spiritual battles together, we're not bickering among us, but we're fighting them together, we will be able to have victory over the temptations the devil sends our way. Now look at verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Point number two. It helps bring growth in our Christian life. It says here it makes you perfect. It establishes, it strengthens you, it settles you. That word perfect there is the same word as restore, talking about in Galatians 6:1. That word established means to set fast. It's like when you put cement down and you come back 12 hours later, it's hard. You're done moving it. You're done making little squigglies in it. Okay? So this unity in the brotherhood that is here to strengthen the body, it helps to establish us. It helps to strengthen us. It means to confirm in spiritual knowledge and power. Talking about growth in the body, you know, each of us have blind spots in our spiritual life. I have blind spots. Spots in my life that I don't see, I miss. And I need my brotherhood to say, Brother Jay, I'm observing this about you. I'm concerned. Each of us has those things in our life that others see that we don't see. If we want to grow in our spiritual walk, we need to be open to the brotherhood speaking into our life in that manner. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. When the body is working together, when the body is unified and moving ahead to bring growth in the body, it's effectual. And it makes increase, it brings growth, and the word edifying, under the edifying of itself in love, edifying, that's like being a house builder, an architect. When an architect lays out a house, and then the builder builds it the way the architect said to build it, it's a beautiful structure, and it stands the test of time. But when the builder doesn't follow the architect's plan, there's problems. And a storm might come along, and the structure might fall down because it wasn't built according to the architect's plan. The Bible is our architect. If we follow the Bible, as you go about doing brotherhood, it will bring growth in the body of Christ. And unity helps in forming convictions in our Christian life. We as parents need to pass on our convictions, things that we deem very important in our Christian walk, to the next generation. And as the brotherhood carries out those convictions in a unified way, it helps to make those convictions become stronger and stronger. So we talked about things that help bring growth in the brotherhood. What about things that hinder unity in the brotherhood? I've mentioned humbleness in the message. The first thing that I thought of, as I thought about a deterrent to unity, is a proud spirit. A proud spirit. A proud spirit says, I don't need you. I can do this on my own. We who are parents and have young children, or have had young children, when we were teaching them to do something, say it was tying their shoes, we would teach them, and then they would start to do it, and we would try to correct them, and they would say, no, I'm going to do it myself. In the brotherhood, when we say, I don't need your help, it's a proud spirit. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised, the well-counseled, is wisdom. Another thing that goes along with a proud spirit is an independent spirit. I don't need you telling me what to do. Too often, when there are church struggles, this spirit is present. I can do it on my own. I don't need you telling me what to do. First John chapter 4, verse 21. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. I'm going to close with a verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last verse of the chapter, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters here at Woodlawn, as you do life, as you do brotherhood, I want to encourage you to love each other as God has loved you. To love with a pure heart, fervently. And God will bless that kind of love. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for a day of rest, a day we can set aside our cares about our work, and we can gather in this way as children of you. And even though we are from many different areas of the country, Lord, we are all believers in your word. And so as we have gathered here today, just ask that your spirit would continue to guide and direct us. Thank you for this day of rest. Thank you for each person that is here today. Lord, as we apply loving our brotherhood in our home congregations, might we always be mindful to have a humble heart and a humble spirit. Help us to love each other in a fervent manner. Lord, I just pray a special blessing upon this congregation here, that you would guide and direct them as they impact those around them, that they would share the gospel of Christ in a pure manner, in a manner that shows they are sincere about serving you. In your name we pray, amen.